All right, Buck. We should be getting some important transfer portal news throughout the course of the day.
Okay.
A couple of quick names here, just some quick hitters before we move on. Christian Allegro, the linebacker transfer from Wisconsin that we talked about yesterday.
Yes.
Showed the picture of him yesterday. Very good looking young man.
Yep.
He is a top target for Texas. Visited the Longhorns on Monday, visited Ohio State yesterday. There is a report that says he is going to be informing Texas and Ohio State of his decision at some time later today. So I don't know if that means it will be made public, but I think Will Muschamp is very high on Christian Allegro. And I also think Matt Patricia, the defensive coordinator at Ohio State, you know, pencil ear, I think he is also very high on this kid. So that's a name to be paying attention to. Andrew Sprague, the offensive tackle from Michigan.
Yes.
Visited Texas. Also had a conversation with Kyle Whittingham back at Michigan. He apparently visited Missouri as well. And also reports say that he is going to announce a decision sometime today.
Yeah, that's the one I'd like to have for sure.
Yeah, unfortunately, the other Michigan offensive lineman, the right guard, Jake Guanera, he announced last night that he is staying in Ann Arbor. So, you know, there was some thought that both of those guys might be a package deal. And if that's the case, obviously bad news for Texas that one of them has already chosen to stick around with Michigan. But the other guy has yet to make his announcement yet. So the Longhorns still have a chance.
Yeah, Michigan ponied up. They got some of that Chiron money.
He got some of that Chiron money. Yeah, they didn't have to pay him to leave because, you know, he was banging a staffer.
He left on his own accord, that dope.
And then he left on his own accord to go to that staffer's house and threatened to kill himself, allegedly. Allegedly on that one there. Relik Brown, again, I think the ball was in Texas's court here. I think there's mutual interest. It's just, is Texas willing to pony up the cash that Relik Brown is looking for? If that's the case, he will be a Texas Longhorn. So those are all names to pay attention to. We might get decisions on all three of them throughout the course of the day. And look, I want Relik Brown here. That'd be some great news if he commits. But at some point, Buck, I'd really like to see a couple of offensive linemen in this
part. Yes.
Like Texas looking for two, maybe three.
Dude, there won't be any excuse if this line sucks again.
I'm with you on that. I think Steve Sarkisian already a little bit of a bold move, bringing Kyle Flood back. And I think a lot of Longhorn fans were hoping for a change with the offensive line coach. That didn't happen.
Had a chance maybe to get the guy from Rutgers.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I think, you know, Kyle Flood was the head coach of Rutgers at one point, right?
Oh, my God.
So, in a sense, they did get a guy from Rutgers. Now, he was at Alabama when Texas hired him, but he spent some time at Rutgers and, yeah, was the head man there for a couple of years. Things clearly did not work out very well for him as the head coach. But, yeah, I mean, that's like they have to fix the offensive line because I think the seat is already very hot for Kyle Flood. And, look, this is going to fall on Steve Sarkisian. If the offensive line is as bad as it was in 26 as it was in 25, then everyone's going to be pointing the finger at the head coach because he kept the offensive line coach around, number one, and also he didn't bring in the right pieces to get that group cleaned up. So still plenty of good offensive linemen in the portal.
For sure.
At this point, I mean, Texas has gotten six portal commits, three special teamers, a defensive tackle, a cornerback, and an inline tight end. No offensive linemen a part of that bunch yet. They got to get
important group. The most important thing that they need to do is get offensive linemen.
100%. And again, plenty of time left in the portal. Now, this thing doesn't close until the 15th, which means there are guys who haven't entered, who will enter between now and next.
Yeah, there are teams that are still playing and guys are going to enter.
It's a good point there as well. And, yeah, you know, guys don't have to decide by the 15th either. Just wanted to re-mention that. But still plenty of time for this to be a very successful transfer portal window for Texas. But Longhorn fans looking for some more good news than what we've gotten since it opened up on January 2nd.
So what do you do if you're in the portal and you're on one of these teams that will be playing very late? Do you just say I'm entering the portal?
Well, it's crazy. I mean, there was a backup running back at Oregon, like a guy who played against Texas Tech. So when I say backup, I don't mean like fifth or sixth buried on the bench. A guy who actually had Oregon's longest rush of the game against Texas Tech in that Orange Bowl. He entered the portal yesterday and he's leaving. So they have rules in place for the teams that are still playing. They can enter the portal after the window closes. Like they get a little extra time.
Okay. I just wanted to know. Yeah.
But, you know, obviously every other team that's not playing,
they're signing guys.
Yeah. They're signing guys. They're making their decisions. So it's like, most people are going to have their roster pretty filled up by the time all of these guys
that money will be gone.
Right. Exactly. The money's gone and you don't have as many opportunities. So it's, again, a huge problem with the college football calendar that guys feel like they have to make this decision. It's a total joke. Same thing with Lane Kiffin having to leave his team before the playoff. It doesn't make sense. And now you're seeing players. I mean, we've seen some at Miami. We've seen guys at Indiana. We've seen guys at Oregon. I'm sure we've seen it at Ole Miss, too. Dudes are leaving the team when they're two wins away from a national championship.
Yeah, that's rough.
Total mess. So, yeah, they do have rules in place, again, to help with that, but it ain't helping enough. We'll see what happens there. Yeah, give me some offensive linemen, please. Some big ugly. Would love that. All right. Should we talk about Texas basketball?
Yeah, we got to talk about that. I mean, we were talking about it a lot yesterday, and that display of physicality last night was really poor. You know, you had mentioned that early yesterday, that they just don't have a second to the big man. Well, the damn big man ain't the big man either, by the way. Guy ended up with one rebound and 4 points. Come on.
Yeah. Texas falls at Tennessee, 85-71, the final score. The Longhorns drop to 0-2 in conference play, and the road doesn't get a heck of a lot easier with the next two opponents that the Horns have to go up against. But, you know, Texas was down 15 at halftime. They were down double digits for the entire second half. They cut it to 10 at one point at about the 10-minute mark, but they never got closer to that. The deficit was as big as 23 at one point. I mean, there was, you know, really from the midway point of the first half on, there was never a thought that anybody had that the Longhorns were going to win the game. And they got blasted by a much better Tennessee team. And it was pretty ugly. And I'll say this. If you choose to punt on the season, we won't. We'll be watching. We'll still be talking about what happens from time to time. But like, if you, Texas fan, chooses to punt on the rest of the season, I will not blame you. You have my permission. Not that you really need it, but I'll give it to you anyways. Because this team is just not very good, Buck. And, you know, I don't think they're 2016-17 Texas bad. That team went 11-22 under Shaka Smart with the lottery pick and Jared Allen, by the way.
Yes.
Very nice NBA career. I don't think they're that bad. But, you know, Rick Barnes had a 16-18 year in 2013. Like, they could be around that. Point is, this is nowhere close to a tournament team. So some people only start caring when you get close to the tournament. This Texas team is not going to make it this year. The last time the Longhorns missed the NCAA tourney was 2019. Obviously, there was no tourney in 2020. But the last time they missed in a year where there was a big dance was way back in 2019. And yeah, just that's going to happen. It's going to be a long rest of the year for this group.
They just don't have enough physicality. I mean, in this conference or any other conference right now, you know, they got no dogs that'll go to the boards and do what they have to do, clean up the boards. I mean, you got a guard that's scoring 0 points and can't cover anybody.
Yeah, Jordan Pope has had a pretty rough two-game stretch,
man,
to say the least. I mean, he didn't give you much against Mississippi State, and he was even worse last night, 0 points in just 13 minutes. I mean, he got benched in the second half yesterday, and Sean Miller wasn't shy talking about it in the postgame. I mean, Modest Vokatidis only played 12 minutes, the big guy. Jordan Pope only played 13 minutes. Dalen Swain, who, of course, had 34 points against Mississippi State, had just 5 points on three shots. He only played 23 minutes. Like, he got sat on the bench in the second half last night. I mean, it's, even the guys who are supposed to be your best players aren't giving you much right now.
Yeah, your bench was better than your starters.
Yeah, that's different than what we've seen. And look, Rick Barnes, we all know Rick Barnes. He's an elite defensive coach, and you could tell the game plan was to take Daylon Swain out of the game. They saw what he did against the Bulldogs, and they're like, okay, we're not going to let that guy beat us. So they, you know, they doubled him. They attacked him. They put their best defender on him, and he just couldn't get much going. And I thought he kind of checked out after just struggling to find a shot.
7-footer that everybody was excited about got one rebound. He's 7 feet tall. No. Dude, I'm getting 2 in that game.
You think you're getting 2 in that game?
I'm getting 2. At 70 years old, there's going to be a loose ball that I'm going to get to first. Yeah. One is going to accidentally get tip, and come my way, and it's going to count as a rebound. I'll get that. But I'll go to the floor and get the other one.
There's a 0% chance you can
get 2 rebounds. 2?
In an SEC game.
Remember, I'm only there for the rebounds. I'm not there for the shooting. I'm not taking any shots. I'm only in the game for 2 rebounds. I'll get 2.
Do you have to run?
Yes, I have to run the court. Yes.
You got
to
play offense and defense. You can't just like camp out on defense and stay under the basket.
Well, I'm not doing anything offensively.
You can get rebounds.
What did that do? How many defensive rebounds did he have?
He had 0 defensive rebounds. 1 offensive rebound, 0 defensive rebounds for the 7-footer, Modest Vokatidis, who, again, only played 12 minutes, but when you're that size, it's a joke that you only get 1 rebound.
Well, you got to have a guy who's a 6'8 guy who's just a monster on the boards. He's going to score maybe, if he gets you 4 points, you're like, what a great game you have. But he's got to give me 10 or 11 rebounds. Don't they have that? They don't have that guy. They don't have anybody that's saying, I'm just going to the boards.
They don't have a four. They don't have a 4. It's something that we've talked about all year long. Like, they just don't have a power forward. And when you don't have that, it makes it imperative for your 5 to be a good rebounder and a good presence on the low block.
Yeah, if he's not going to be a scorer, if he's going to get you 1 point or 4 points, then he's got to be a great rebounder.
You know, it's always the fear when a guy makes a jump from a place like Florida Atlantic to a place like Texas, right? It's any sport. Same thing with football. Sure. When a guy's making a jump from a lesser conference to the big leagues, if you will, you wonder, how is the game going to translate? Is he big enough? Is he strong enough? Is he fast enough? Can he adapt to this level? And Modest Vokatidis put up some really good numbers against the cupcake teams that Texas was playing. And he'll probably put up some good numbers against some SEC teams. But Tennessee, a very good SEC team, ranked in the top 25, he was a non-factor. He looked like he did not belong because those teams have guys as big as him, 7 feet, 250.
Big, broad shoulder dudes,
But those guys are also athletic, and Modest Vokatidis is kind of a stiff. He's just not a great athlete. Doesn't have the quickness or the speed to hang with those dudes. So when he's going against guys who are physical enough to body him, but also athletic enough to prevent him from doing what he wants to do and also being able to attack him when they're on offense, then he's a liability out there.
Yeah, and then they've got their defense that they've got enough defensive players. They let two guards or two, you know, whatever they are, just eat them up over last year. I mean, the guy last night, nobody could cover that guy.
Yeah, yeah. Josh Hubbard had 38 on Saturday. And look, he was 10 of 31 shooting. He was just jacking up a bunch of shots and kicking his legs out and getting to the free throw line. It was a pretty inefficient 38. Not the case with Jacoby Gillespie last night, who was, you know, Tennessee's leading scorer. We talked about him yesterday. 34 for him on 12 of 18 shooting. He was 5 of 8 from 3-point line. And he was incredibly efficient. You give him credit, you tip your cap. But also, Texas was going under screens on him. They were just setting a high ball screen, and for some reason, Texas was going under them, and it gave Gillespie clean looks from downtown. And he's like, all right, I'll take that. Thank you very much. Like, I don't know if that's game plan or just bad execution, perhaps a combination of both.
And once again, I used to think it's 5-on-5-on-4 when Jordan Pope is on the court. And now it's like 5-on-3 when the big guys. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, let's get to a little bit of Sean Miller sound here. He's not happy with his team. Here's part of Coach Miller's opening statement last night following the L to the fake UT.
There's nothing that's more important than effort. You know, I thought that to some degree that came into play against Mississippi State in our last game. And I thought there were times, in spite of how good of a team Tennessee has, that we cooperated just with guys that just really didn't want to compete. In the second half, when we went with a certain group, man, I have a lot of pride in the fact that the score was 38-37. You know, we keep deflections as a barometer. You know, we got ended up with about 29. Most of those came with that group in. And it wasn't always pretty, but I have no problem with the effort level and the togetherness of my team from about the 14-minute mark to zero in the second half. And it wasn't pretty, and we didn't win. But when you establish that we're going to play hard, and what we talk about as the coach you have to do, I think that's the starting in the building blocks of hopefully one day building a foundation like you guys have here at Tennessee under Coach Barnes. So we're only in our second game in the SEC. We're not a very good team. We have a long way to go. But what we have to do is we have to be a team that's connected and plays the game with great, great effort.
Yeah, I mean, he's asking you as a fan or somebody that knows basketball to be patient with him because he doesn't have the right group. And a lot of them don't have the right guts right now to do some of the things he wants them to do. They just don't have those type of players. So he's asking for your patience. I mean, whether you give it to him or not, that's what fans do. But he's asking for it because he knows, you know, that whole they can give all the effort they want. They can still get beat down by 10, 15 points on any given night. They can give all the effort. They just don't have the kind of bodies.
Yeah,
they're not physical enough.
And he's asking for your patience, but I think he's also asking his guys for a little bit more effort. And it's not the first time we've heard Sean Miller kind of allude to that.
Well, that's going to eventually start falling on him.
Of course, eventually it will. There's no doubt. And for some Texas fans, I think it already is falling on the head coach. I'm not the type of guy to make any rash judgments or rush to conclusions in any coach's first year. If I was, I would have wanted Steve Sarkisian fired after 5-7. A lot of Texas fans did. Glad they kept him around beyond that first year. So not everybody's going to do what Jim Schlossnagel did and win the SEC in year one. More often than not, there are plenty of examples around the country of really good coaches in college basketball who have had really rough first years. So I'm going to give Sean Miller some time. But he's asking for some effort. And, you know, he talked about that 14-minute mark in the second half. You know, Sean Miller doesn't say names of players, right? But it's not hard to figure out who he's talking about.
Oh, there's no doubt.
You just look at who didn't play in the last 14 minutes of the game. Dalen Swain, not on the floor. Jordan Pope, not on the floor. Matas Vokatidis, not on the floor. Those are three starters. Those are supposed to be three of the best players. There's your head coach saying, I need more effort out of you. If I don't get it, come sit right next to me. Nice cush seat there for you.
Yeah.
So yeah, he
lets you know who they are.
Yeah. Trying to establish a culture right there. And, you know, I'm for it. One more bit. This one's a little harsher. Not as good as Saturday. Nothing will ever be as good as the crossing the street bit. But Sean Miller was asked later in the post-game presser about his team's identity and if his team has an identity right now.
We're not making any. You know, there's some things that I think we've done well at times, you know, defensive rebounding. But right now we're playing against, well, today we played against the best offensive rebounding team in the country, right? And they got us. They do that to a lot of teams. I think if you look at the rebounding, we ended up getting 15 second shots. A lot of our second shots came, though, what I'm talking about, which was mid-second half, right? With effort, more effort. You can't get second shots unless you're playing lights out, especially against these guys, right? You have to really go. And, you know, I thought there were a number of guys who really tried to create those second shot opportunities with effort. You know, we want to play with pace and togetherness, but we weren't really able to do that tonight. Some of it is Tennessee's such an excellent defensive team that they take some of those things away. But we have to establish that I'm playing for the University of Texas. I play for Sean Miller. He's the coach. What he says goes. This is how we do it. I play for myself. I play for my teammates. Mostly, I'm caught up in the moment. Like, I'm playing a game I love, and I'm going to play as fast and as hard as I can. If you can't play with effort, it's going to be a very, very hard next couple months. And I think you'll see that, you know, our lineup has to change. I can't keep playing the certain guys. We're at that point, or we're just going to have to go. Whoever is ready to play hard, we have to go with them because that's going to be our best bet.
Yeah, he needs guys to play hard. He doesn't need guys that allegedly have talent. I need to play guys that are going to play hard. At least I'll get the kind of effort that I'm looking for. I mean, I get the kind of scoring, but I can get defense. I can get guys scrapping on the floor for loose balls. I can get some rebounds somehow out of my seven-footer, or that big dude will be on the bench. There's nobody else they can go to when that guy's on the bench. I know it doesn't look good, but when he's gone, there's no height. There's no bulk out there. I know he may be slow, but my goodness, who do they go to?
All right. Yeah, and it was good to see Camden Heidi have a pretty good game for Texas.
Yeah, he played better.
He started at the 4, 35 minutes, 16 points. I mean, he's been a very good three-point shooter this year, so I think we'll see more of him play moving forward. But, yeah, look, I mean, when Sean Miller got here, he couldn't even field a team. Like, there weren't five guys on scholarship coming back.
Right.
And some of the guys on scholarship who did come back. You know, you could be critical of Sean Miller for trying to keep Tremont Mark and Jordan Pope around instead of finding new guys. But, like, he needed bodies. He didn't have much of a choice. And this ain't football. This ain't baseball. Texas does not invest in basketball very much. I mean, Mississippi State spent more on NIL last year than Texas did in basketball. There's not a lot of investment here. So you want to retain your guys versus having to go out and spend more for dudes in the portal. And if you want to be a little critical of the coach, it is his roster. He put it together. I guess that's fair, but I don't know what you're supposed to do in one off season when the previous guy left you very little to work with. So I'm giving him time. But again, if you don't want to watch any more Texas basketball this year, we'll watch it for you. We got you covered.
Yeah,
I got some more losses coming, Buck.
Somebody has got to want to be on that court. That's the thing. They're going to have somebody that says, you know what? I'm not going to do anything but get you 8 rebounds a game. I want to be on the court. I want some playing time. And I'll go to the boards. I'll defend, and I'll go to the boards. I may not give you 8 to 10 points, but I'll give you 8 to 10 boards. They need a guy like that to say, this is what I'm going to do. You know, the Weaver used to do that on defense. You know, now he's scoring 9 and playing so-so defense.
Well, no, he's playing good defense. I don't have any questions. I don't think Sean Miller has any questions about Kendall Weaver's effort and want to. And that's a guy who played, you know, in that 14-minute stretch.
And obviously he's gotten better offensively. If he gets 9 points, that's better.
Yeah. He's giving you a little bit more on that side of the ball. I mean, he's never going to be a plus offensive player, but a good athlete and a guy who does the dirty work for this team. So, you know, I don't think he's in the category of guys who need to show more efforts. Could be wrong on that, but again, I'm just trying to put two and two together based on those comments and who actually was playing in the last part of the game yesterday. I think Kendall Weaver is not one of those guys he's talking about, but we'll see. Up next, at Alabama. Oh boy. Texas can't defend, and Alabama can offense.
Yes.
Very well. I mean, under Nate Oates, they're consistently one of the best offensive teams in the country. According to KenPom, they have the second best offensive efficiency in college basketball. They might score 120 against Texas over the weekend. And then Vanderbilt at home. So Texas staring down the teeth of an 0-4 start.
Pavia is not playing basketball.
Pavia is not playing basketball. They might be better at basketball than they are in football. But yeah. Vanderbilt has a big one. I think Vandy and Bama play tonight. So if you want to do a little scouting report on Texas's next two opponents and just watch some better college basketball. There was some great college basketball on last night. I don't know if you flipped to anything else, but the Houston Texas Tech game was incredible. Kansas had a miracle comeback against TCU. Auburn hit a half court shot to beat A&M, and it got called off. And it was like very controversial. It's one of those, one angle, it looks like he got it off in time. The other angle, it looks like he didn't. A lot of great college hoops being played right now. Unfortunately, it's not being played in Austin, Texas.
Yeah, it's going to take him until he gets the kind of players that he's looking for and get some guys to come here. This is going to be a struggle. This year is going to be awful.
Yeah, it's going to be a long year if it hasn't been long enough already.
Right. Yeah, I know he had to fill the team, but I know he's got to be looking at Pope going, this is my guard. This is the guy who's supposed to be getting us into our offense or whatever kind of offense we have.
Yeah.
He's doing nothing.
No, he is doing nothing. And it's a problem because he's supposed to be one of your best players.
But he can't even give me the two rebounds that I could get. Come on, man.
Jordan Pope, listed at 6'1", probably 5'10".
Yes.
He had the same amount of rebounds as Matas Vokatidis, listed at 7 feet, probably 8 feet. Yeah, so both of those guys, a problem.
Yeah, it's almost like you got to, if you're in major college, you got to have a night at something, you know what I mean? Defending, scoring, rebounding, uh-huh. You know, offense, defense. Hey, at the free throw line, I mean, you got to have a night. One of those deals right there, one of those stats, you got to have a night at if you're a big-time player.
Yeah, he's supposed to be a scorer, Buck. And Jordan Pope is 4-for-16 in his last two games. Like, his job is to score on this team, and he's not doing that. And everything else he's bad at. He's not a true point guard, not a great facilitator, can't play defense, doesn't rebound. Like, his job is to put the ball in the cup, and he ain't doing it. So, and that's a senior. And Tremont Mark's like 36 years old, although he played pretty well last night.
He had 20.
Yeah, yeah. And
when your bench is better than your starters, that's scary.
It's all pretty scary right now, my friend. And no, you could not get two rebounds in an SEC game.
Two, BK. I'm telling you, you got to believe that a ball is going to come my way when it gets tipped around and I can actually catch it and hold on and get rid of it.
But you can't jump. You can't jump.
You have to jump. The ball gets tipped and it's down here.
Where are you gonna stand? Are you going to stand like just around the three-point line and hope a long rebound comes to you?
But there's one that's going to go on the ground and I'll get to it before they do. I'll get it and get a timeout and get that counted as a rebound. I'll get two.
Oh man, I just wonder what your plan is here. Like, you stand under the basket, do you stand mid-range, do you stand outside the three-point line?
I stand
like,
on the baseline, you know, something gets tipped on the baseline, I got it before it goes out of bounds. I got it, I jump 3 inches off the ground and call timeout, counts for a rebound. Yeah, I'm getting two. I'm not getting in that game and playing the minutes, 13, 14 minutes like these guys, and getting one rebound. One rebound?
I know. Could we fit an index card between you and the ground when you jump?
Hell, I weigh as much as the 7-footer does, so.
You weigh 250 pounds?
That guy's 250. That's what he plays like he's like 160.
Yeah, last night he did. Last night he was getting tossed around like a rag doll out there.
You're right. When they were playing these scrubby teams and he was like not blocking shots and around the rim, I mean, he don't even get around the rim now. They just push him. They get him off his spot. He doesn't have a spot.
God, I want to be a basketball school so bad, Buck. It's all I ever want.
You and your other 8 buddies want that basketball school so bad.
I know, and there might only be 9 of us at these games moving forward.
Oh, my gosh.
Shoot. All right, we'll take your thoughts. The Coda text line. Shout out to our friends at Circuit of the Americas. Hit us up, 512-222-9328. The YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Twitch live chats are rocking and rolling as well. Feel free to comment on anything we're talking about this morning. We'll get back into some Texas football. We also have some NFL to discuss. Oh, yeah. Thankfully, the Dallas Cowboys have fired their defensive coordinator. Baltimore Ravens have also made a bit of a surprising change. We'll get to those stories as well. But first, about a few more sponsor shout-outs.
Travel with Jay and the gang over at Sue Patrick, folks. Since 1975, they got the incredible selection of Texas Longhorn apparel, of course, collectibles, accessories, and tons of Texas-themed gifts and items, books, all the things that you want, a wide variety of men's and women's clothing in all sizes, small to triple X just for you. Sue Patrick offers free shipping on online orders, $59 or more, and free curbside pickup and plenty of parking spaces at 5222 Burnett Road. For more information, folks, go to SuePatrick.com. And don't forget those jelly cats. Some of the new jelly cats are in just for you. I'll be starting to get my new collection for 2026 in of those jelly cats.
There you
for
go.
For sure. At I Sue like Patrick. That. Love Sue Patrick.
Yes, indeed. Love Sue Patrick. Love the Altstadt beer as well. Yes. Sometimes Jay and the gang at Sue Patrick hook us up with some Altstadt beer.
Nice.
That for a combination. I don't know if they'll let you. I got to ask Jay on this one. You think they have open container rules at Sue Patrick? Like, could you just roll in there with an ice cold Old Stat beer and you're drinking while you're shopping?
Well, it depends on what you're going to spend while you're in there.
That's true. Yeah. If you spend a couple $100, I would think Jay is okay with it. Maybe if you bring him one too, he'd be okay.
Absolutely.
With it. It might work. But love the Old Stat beer, the best beer that you could find all throughout the great state of Texas. You might need some when you're watching this Texas basketball team play the rest of the way. But Old Stat's perfect for any occasion. You're sports watching, hanging out with friends and family, enjoying this unseasonably warm weather that we're having here in the wintertime in Austin, Texas. Whatever you have going on, your good times are made better with a great beer. Old Stat beer is that choice. They've got a bunch of different brews, something for every beer drinker out there. German style lager, German style Kolsch, a Hefeweizen, a great light beer, seasonal brews. I'm telling you, something for every single palate. This is award-winning stuff here. Don't just take my word for it. Go get you some the next time you're at any grocery store that sells beer or any liquor store. It's the official beer of BK. It should be the official beer of you as well. It's Old Stat beer. No impurities, no regrets.
Sweet.
All right. Some good transfer portal news real quick. You know, last night, sort of that flew a little bit under the radar, but it's pretty rare where this happens. I don't know how many times in the Steve Sarkisian era we've seen this happen. But last night, a Longhorn who was in the portal announced that he is withdrawing from the portal and returning to Texas. That is safety Derek Williams Jr., who spent a few years at Texas, just wrapped up his third season on the 40 acres. High four-star recruit out of high school, you know, was one of the bright spots on the Texas secondary in 2023.
Yeah.
Texas secondary was not very good that year, even though the Longhorns made the playoff, but looked really good as a true freshman. Got off to a sensational start. He actually started ahead of Andrew Makuba at the other safety opposite of Michael Taft last year. Had an interception in the Michigan game, had a forced fumble and a fumble recovery against Oklahoma, but he tore his ACL against OU and obviously missed the entirety of the 2024 season. Came back this year, but was kind of a rotational piece. But a guy, you know, before the injury, and Buck, we talk about this a lot on this show. We did it a bunch with CJ Baxter. You never know what a guy is after a big-time injury.
Yes.
Derek Williams didn't look great this year, but there was a lot of talent there and a lot of ability there before he went down. I don't think he's costing Texas an arm and a leg to keep him. I like that he is returning to the 40 acres, and maybe there's a chance he can give you something in the secondary.
Yeah, maybe that knee is going to be healed up after two full seasons, and he'll be ready to go.
Yeah.
And he'll have that quickness back, and he'll be, you know, sometimes you get these injuries, BK, you're not such a willing participant in a lot of collisions. You know, you're thinking something's going to happen, it's going to buckle, it's not going to be right. And after a while, you just say, you know what, it's healed, it's time to go. You know, I've been doing everything I can. I work out on it. I'm at practice on it. It's just ready to go. And maybe that's it for him. Maybe it was a lot of contact stuff with him. And now he's back to normal.
Right. That's the hope, right? The further removed he gets from that knee injury and that knee surgery, the better he is.
Yeah.
And look, I think Blake Gideon has a lot to do with this. Apparently, Derek Williams and Blake Gideon had a great relationship. Obviously, Gideon was on the staff for Williams' first couple of years in Austin. Was not on the coaching staff this past year. One of my biggest gripes with Dwayne Akina this season, Buck, I felt like he totally ignored the backups. I don't know if that's true, but like whenever, you know, Manny Mohamed missed the Florida game, the Texas secondary sucked. When Michael Taft was out, the Texas secondary sucked. And it's like, there should be enough talent back there to where there shouldn't be this much of a drop-off if like one guy, like the backups, you know, that Mississippi State game, Taft got hurt and McDonald got hurt in the first quarter and there was no safety play whatsoever. And it's like, what is happening here? Like, why is it this bad? My hope is that with Blake Gideon back, and, you know, obviously Will Muschamp will be a part of this too, is that those depth guys actually don't look completely lost.
Right.
Here.
Yeah. You can spell a guy for a series or two and you don't notice it, or a game.
Right. And I think Derek Williams might have been ignored because he wasn't a starter this year. And look, I still think Texas should go get a starting caliber safety in the portal. And they hosted Edwin Joseph from Florida State this past weekend. You know, a bunch of other schools interested in him too. But I do think the Longhorns are still looking for help back there. But I think it's a good thing that Derek Williams is returning. I still feel like he's got something left to give this football team.
Yeah, maybe Dartmouth will return.
No, Dartmouth's already committed elsewhere. To not just elsewhere, but to Oklahoma. Fuck.
That is so weird. That's so weird when you're the quarterback's roommate.
What's wrong with Arch Manning? You know, some sports writers out there are putting together an article questioning Arch Manning. Is he a good leader? Is he a good friend? Is he a bad roommate?
No, that dude just saw all the things that Arch Manning is getting and thinking that, hey, I'm the guy's roommate. I catch passes. Hey, hook me up too. And it's like, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, Dartmouth. We're not hooking you up at all.
Well, sorry about that, Dartmouth. Warby Parker, Uber, Red Bull, brands.
Waymo.
They're not looking for the fourth string wide receiver. I'm sorry. They want the quarterback. So that's how it works. They want the number one quarterback and the Heisman favorite. That's the guy they're looking for.
Maybe I saw that's who I saw going to the airport. When I told you yesterday, there's Waymo is on the highway.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't see anybody in here. Maybe Parker was on his way to the airport getting the hell out of town.
I think he was already the hell out of town.
Man.
It'd be wise for him to not come back to town.
Wow.
Anytime soon. Yeah. Crazy. Arch Manning and Parker Livingston no longer together. No more McCoy-Shipley comparisons.
No thanks.
It's Oklahoma's deal now. And we will see those two guys together, but only one time on opposite sidelines on October 10th, the Red River Shootout.
You said John Mateo will be throwing high balls to him.
Judas Livingston. Telling you. Benedict Livingston.
That one was a shocker yesterday. A
traitor. Yeah. You know, I had heard some rumblings about it happening. And I think I mentioned it earlier in this show. You know, as soon as it was reported that Livingston entered the portal, I had heard from a pretty reliable source that, like, Oklahoma was the school he wanted to go to. And I know he was offered by OU, but again, I don't know if the offer was pulled after his foot injury during his senior year of high school or if they just kind of stopped recruiting him. I don't know what the deal was, but he obviously ended up coming to Texas. But maybe that guy has always had an affinity for Oklahoma, and he got another chance to go there. And look, he got a nice pay bump to go there too.
Well, yeah, that is sloppy seconds for sure.
That is very sloppy. It was very sloppy the way he handled his departure too. Not that it would change that much. I always say this with like Jim Schlossnagel, right? Because A&M fans point to, you know, the way Schloss handled that press conference after the Aggies lost the national championship to Tennessee a couple of years ago and how he spurned that reporter. Look, that was a bad bid. He shouldn't have done that. I won't defend that. But that's what A&M points to, is like, that's the reason we're upset. We're not upset that he left. It's like, no, you would have been just as upset if he left.
Of course you would.
Even if he said everything right. So the statement sucks. I hate what Parker Livingston said, how he dreamed about playing at Texas and, oh, he loved it here. And, you know, this was not my choice and such as college football. Like, that was all bad. It was all horribly handled by him and his team.
Yeah, it is your choice.
But ultimately, it's like, really, I'm just mad that he went to Oklahoma. He could have not insinuated that. He could have said all the right things, but there's really,
yeah, he could have gone to University of Cal or Oregon State or something.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. You go to Oklahoma. I don't care if he said all the right things. I don't care if he came out and was like, they offered me twice as much money. I don't think I'm an NFL player, so I'm cashing out while I can. If he said that, it would still suck because he's going to Oklahoma. So
it's more so of where he went.
Right. That's it. That's all it is. You can't go to OU or A&M. You can't cross that river.
No, you can't do that. That used to mean something. Now, if it's now to this point, it means absolutely nothing. Like you're going to the enemy, just walking over to him and changing unis, you know?
It's crazy, man. It is crazy. And it's not the first time it's happened. A couple of years ago, it happened with Brennan Thompson, who went from Texas to Oklahoma. Thompson didn't play at Texas, and he didn't play much at Oklahoma. He was actually on Mississippi State last year, had a pretty good game against the Longhorns, was one of their best receivers this year.
Oh, I saw him catch a bomb in the game the other day.
Sounds right. In their bowl game.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, but he, like, Livingston actually played at Texas. Brennan Thompson did not.
Right.
And he didn't play much at Oklahoma either. But Livingston, again, he played here, put up some numbers here, and he's getting paid to play and put up some numbers there. So it's.
Now, is he the dude's dad went to Oklahoma too?
Who's that?
Thomas? No.
Brandon? No. You're thinking of Casey Thompson.
Oh, he's of Casey, yes.
Who also, yeah, he did play on both sides. But Casey Thompson, by the time he got to Oklahoma, he was a deep bench guy.
Right.
Started at Texas and transferred to Nebraska and then went to Oklahoma.
Okay.
His dad, Charles, friend of TSU, he's a guy we usually talk to at the round table every year up at up in Dallas. Good dude. And former Oklahoma quarterback himself. But yeah, different from Brennan Thompson here.
Yeah, those are tough when you go to a rival. I mean, that's tough on you for your life.
Yeah. Oh, I was thinking Parker Livingston would finish his career as a Longhorn and never have to buy a beer in Austin and, hell, never have to apply for a job, you know? Someone's just, hey, you're done? You want to work at my real estate?
Yeah, it's different if you're sitting on the bench and you want an opportunity to play. But that dude was playing in games.
Yeah, no, I'm not. The bench guys don't get that treatment. But if you're like three-year starter at Texas, which I thought Livingston was going to be, then it's like, yeah, you get these perks. And now it's, if I'm a bartender in Austin, I ain't serving that dude.
There you go.
Or if I am, I'm charging him triple for.
You can't call up Waymo and get rides around town.
I'm calling Elon and saying, hey, let's hack one of these. Nah, I don't want him to get into a car wreck. But yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy, man. It's a different world that we live in nowadays.
It certainly is.
So we'll see what Texas does in response. Again, the Longhorns, they were in the market for a portal receiver. I mean, they've known Livingston was leaving since January 1st. So they know that they need a couple of guys to replace DeAndre Moore and Parker Livingston. And we'll see. Cam Coleman's still out there. I'm terrified about Texas Tech with Cam Coleman. Like, I don't think he really –
quarterback and a wide receiver.
Yeah, I don't think – like, I think he'd rather be at Texas and Texas A&M. Or Texas A&M. Like, if the offers were all the same, I think Texas Tech would be a distant third. But, I mean, it's Texas Tech. Like, I could see Texas and Texas A&M being like, you know what, we'll give you $2 million. And then I could see Texas Tech being like, we'll give you $4 million if you come here.
Yeah.
And then it gets to a point where it's like,
you just can't compete with that.
Hard for him to turn it down. Like, it's terrifying nowadays. Whenever Texas Tech is interested in a player that your team is interested in, you should be scared. All right.
Yeah. Well,
it's weird. It's different.
Joey McGuire, you better start scoring some points.
Right. Yeah. In playoff games. I mean, Texas, we saw it with Felix Ojo, the 5-star offensive lineman, the second ranked player in the state of Texas in this class of 2026. Like, Texas was in the lead for Felix Ojo for a lot of the cycle. And then Texas Tech came in and dropped a bag on him. And all of a sudden, wreck him.
Absolutely.
Go Texas Tech. I don't even think he said wreck him. I think he said go Red Raiders. And it's like, Jesus, dude, you clearly do not know anything about this school.
My goodness.
You're taking the money. And, hey, he ain't alone. So we'll see what happens with Cam Coleman. And, again, Texas, I think, is potentially going to add a couple of portal receivers before this.
I agree with you now. I think now they're going to be looking for two.
Yeah, we'll see. Cam Coleman's still out there. He is the top target for a number of schools. All right, Buck. Good news if you're a Cowboys fan. Matt Eberflus is no longer your defensive coordinator.
You got a new general manager too? No. Sorry. You don't have two reports at all?
You know, this might be the most messed up thing I've ever said in my entire life. And that's saying something, because you know some of the things that I've said. But every morning after I wake up, first thing I do is check Twitter, like any good millennial does. I spend the first few minutes of my day on my phone. And I just kind of have that like little glimmer of hope.
No, don't even say it.
The first tweet I see says that Jerry Jones is no longer the general manager of the Dallas Cowboys.
There you go. There you go. No longer the general manager. Yes.
What'd you think I was going to say?
Has passed away.
Well, hang on. considering that might be what it takes for him to no longer be the general manager.
If he showed up on the report.
I'm just saying that, you know, I don't check the obituaries in the paper. That's what Twitter is for these days.
It has nothing to do with you anyway.
I would prefer him to just sell the team and not die. I don't need him to die. The best case scenario is just, you know, he sells the team and the new owner comes in and hires a general manager and the Cowboys can start turning things around. So that's what I want to see more than anything. But what do they say?
They started with getting rid of the defensive coordinator.
What Rocky movie is it? Is it Rocky IV? If he dies, he dies.
Yes.
Call me Drago.
If he dies, he dies.
And Matt Eberflus's Dallas Cowboys career is dead. After the Cowboys buck, they gave up more than 500 points this season for the first time in franchise history. It's more points than any team in the NFL gave up this year, by the way. They had the worst scoring defense in the league. They also had the worst passing defense, the worst red zone defense, and the worst third down defense in football this season. According to the DVOA efficiency metric, Dallas had the fourth worst defense in NFL history this year. Kind of amazing they won 7 games. Not that I'm claiming a moral victory for that. It's disappointing anytime you miss the playoffs, but they had a historically bad defense. Not only the worst in franchise history, but in some ways the worst in NFL history, or at least in that conversation. And they still won 7 games.
My goodness.
And had a tie in there too. Cowboys will be looking for the fourth defensive coordinator in 5 years. The good news is there's a lot of very good candidates available, including Brian Flores, who is my top choice. But you've got Raheem Morris, who was just fired as the head coach of Atlanta.
Yes.
You've got Jonathan Gannon, who was just fired as the head coach at Arizona. That guy was the defensive coordinator on one of the Eagles Super Bowl teams. You know, Jim Schwartz is out there. Like, there are a number of names that would be instant upgrades over Matt Eberflus.
Yeah, I mean, Cleveland's defense was pretty good, pretty salty, yes.
Yeah, always.
They also had a guy who broke the record in sacks, and Cowboys used to have a guy who was probably going to break the record in everything, but they don't have him any longer.
No, they traded Micah Parsons, which didn't help the defense very much now, did it?
No.
So the Cowboys need players too. I saw a mock draft for Dallas yesterday that had them taking David Bailey, the stud edge rusher out of Texas Tech at 12, and also Manny Muhammad with their second first round pick. Like, those are their two biggest needs. They need linebackers and they need defensive backs.
Yes.
So I would love to sign up for that right now. Of course, the second pick is dependent on how far the Packers go in the playoffs. So every Cowboys.
What you need to understand is one of those picks in the first round is going to an offensive lineman.
I know.
So you might as well just set your sights on which offensive lineman are they going to try to get.
I'm not a mock drafter, but obviously so many people out there are. I just don't know if you're a mock drafter how you don't put an offensive lineman to Dallas like every year.
Yeah, I mean, that's just what's going to happen. So they're going to tell you he's going to be with us for the next 15 years.
Right. Yeah. If they had one first round pick, it's an offensive lineman. If they have two, I just hope it's not two offensive.
No, they can't do that. They got to put somebody on defense.
They got to get two guys on defense.
They got to get all of them on defense, really.
Yeah. There was a team, I think it was the Panthers a couple of years ago, that had 7 picks and they literally spent all 7 of them on defense. Like, I would not to say the Cowboys are perfect offensively. They are not. But they obviously have way more going there than they do on defense. So problem for Dallas is they don't have a second and they don't have a third this year. So they'll pick 12.
Spend the money on the receiver who, if they want him to return, they need to get that. They need not to play around with that.
Yeah.
And they have a tendency to want to play around a little bit with that kind of thing.
Oh, they will, Buck.
Well, I mean, will this be into the summertime again, or they get this done?
Might go into the fall.
Come on.
August, September, right before the start of the season. Yeah, they got to pay George Pickens. That's pretty high priority there, too. And they got money to spend. Will they spend it? Will they be all in, or will they be all in?
Well, first of all, it's going to take them 2 years to get this defense settled the right way. They just don't have enough picks, and there are not enough players available for him to get the defense totally fixed to equal the offense. This is, I'll say this, this is the first time in a long time that Dak Prescott is not the center of attention when it comes to this team not doing something. It just can't, I don't hear people saying it. And that's generally people that don't even like him are always going to say it's his fault that they're not winning. That has not really been the case of people that just even don't like him this year.
Yeah. I mean, Dak Prescott was phenomenal this season. Threw for more than 4,000 yards, more than 30 touchdowns. You know, became the franchise's all-time leader in passing yards this year. Tied for the NFL lead with 6 300-yard passing games. Named to the Pro Bowl again. I mean, it was one of his best seasons, and the Cowboys just wasted it. So, look, Dak, there's not a whole lot more he can do in the regular season to change the narrative.
Sure.
That guy's been an MVP runner-up. Should have won MVP the year he finished second. Like, he could win MVP. No one's really going to care. It's about the playoffs for him. But I think most people, at least most smart people, realize that it wasn't Dak's fault that the Cowboys missed the playoffs this year. They had the worst defense in football by a mile.
Yes.
So there wasn't much more that guy could have done unless he was, you know, willing to Travis Hunter this thing and go play on defense. So, yeah, he had a great year. And look, the Cowboys have a great quarterback. They have to find a way to win while they have Dak Prescott. They're paying him a lot of money. He's the highest paid guy in football. They need to put a team around him that can help the investment be worth it. Because right now, it's not worth it.
No.
Right now, it is not. If the Cowboys are going to field that level of defense again next year, they might as well trade Dak Prescott and blow it up and start over. I don't think they want to do that. I don't think they should do that.
Yeah, because eventually his talents are going to start to diminish a little bit too.
Of course. And he gets hurt from time to time too.
So yeah, he does.
That's a risk with Dak. But yeah, at some point, like, he's going to start to decline a little bit. And, you know, he'll be a free agent in another couple of years too. So the Cowboys will have another decision to make on his future.
Ooh.
I would like for them to find a way to start winning some games with him under contract.
Wow, that's right.
Yeah, he's got three more years, but the Cowboys have a potential out after two on his current deal. So there you go. Your thoughts on the Ravens firing John Harbaugh after 18 years in Baltimore?
I mean, like I said, I thought I had heard that the other day, and you could almost feel that coming.
Yeah.
The winner of that, the loser of the Ravens and the Steelers, one of those coaches was going. So it just happened to be Harbaugh. And like I said, I could see him being the guy at the Giants. If they want somebody with a young quarterback to stabilize their organization a little bit for a year or two, I think he would be perfect. Has his name come up for the Giants?
Here's a pretty hilarious meme, by the way. This is the last second field goal by Tyler Loop.
Yes.
And it's like, well, if he made it, Mike Tomlin was getting fired. If he missed it, Jim Harbaugh was getting fired. Yeah. To answer your question, yes. You know, according to Jim Harbaugh's agent, who told this to Adam Schefter, Harbaugh got like 7 calls right after he got let go. And there are only 7 teams with openings, and one of those teams is Baltimore. So either Baltimore called after firing him, or a team that still has their head coach checked in and was like, hey, would he come here if we fired our current guy?
That sounds like the Dolphins to me.
Maybe. I don't know who that was, but yeah, John Harbaugh, he's going to have his pick of the litter. And there's already interest around, and yeah, he's been linked to the Giants. He's been linked to every team with an opening right now. So we will see where he ends up. I wouldn't hire John Harbaugh because of the stat I always say, Buck, you know what it is?
Ooh, you already won a Super Bowl. You're not going to win a Super Bowl with two teams.
Boom. There it is.
Two different teams.
That's it. That's it. John Harbaugh, great coach, already won a Super Bowl with one team. There's never been a coach who's won a Super Bowl with two different teams. I ain't doing it. I care about history too much. Maybe somebody will do it. At some point, you would think some coach will do it, but I'm not taking a chance on being the first.
Yeah.
Played a lot of Super Bowls, and there have been a lot of coaches who have tried, and it hadn't happened. So I've seen some Cowboy fans who are like, oh, get rid of Shoddy and bring Harbaugh in. I'm not the biggest Shoddy guy in the world, but I don't want Harbaugh. Nope. I don't want Harbaugh at all. By the way, Buck, this is good news if you're a Cowboys fan, and good news if you have ears that work. No disrespect to our deaf audience, although you can't hear us. Jason Garrett is interviewing for the Titans opening on Friday. Come on, man. How great would that be?
He wants to get back into it.
I'm sure he wants to get back into it.
And not hanging there on Sunday night football is not good enough for him.
Well, it's not good enough for me.
You want him back.
I don't really like listening to that dude on Sunday night football. And also Mike McCarthy, speaking of the Giants, he's going to interview for the Giants opening next.
Oh, don't do that. Don't
come
do that.
Come on, baby.
No, don't do
Jason
that.
Jason Garrett and Mike McCarthy back on NFL sidelines. God is good.
Man, don't do that. Giants, don't. Send Mike McCarthy. Just go ahead and send him to Vegas. So they can still just stay as lousy as possible.
We got to get Wags' thoughts, our resident Giants fan, on that one here.
That'll hurt.
Bring on the boys right now. It's Double R. It's Wags. Another two-hour Chaos Theory coming your way from 9 to 11. Wags, your thoughts? Mike McCarthy.
I'm with Buck. I'll let Mike McCarthy head on out to the desert and get lost in Vegas.
Yes.
Oh, my God. With all the all-you-can-eat buffets in Vegas.
He'll love life. He will love life.
Be a disaster.
Born in Horns, Borg is born.
Go ahead and get Harbaugh, Wags, with the Giants.
No, I mean, great stat by BK, what he pulls up to, right? And my father and a lot of other Ravens fans are very excited to see John Harbaugh go, which is weird because the Ravens, they have been winning, right? But it's almost like that purgatory of winning. Like, we can only get so far.
Window closed.
The next guy that's going to get us over the hump, right? And they just haven't been able to get over that hump. So, I guess good riddance from a lot of Ravens fans to see John Harbaugh go. I wouldn't want John Harbaugh up in New York either. I kind of want to go with something new. I have a little bit of reluctancy to welcome in another Buffalo offensive coordinator after what Dable did, but I'd like to see what Joe Brady can do with this young offense. Also, counterpoint to that, I'm all for Spagnuolo. Like, if Steve Spagnuolo can break up with Andy Reid, have a, you know, somewhat of a sacred union still kind of bonded together with Andy, and they can have a friendship, and he gets out of there and comes to New York, that's what I would want.
Man,
I want a defensive-minded guy in New York.
I was thinking you didn't want the retread because you were out on Harbaugh, but you're going way retread with Spags.
Bring Spags back, baby. Bring Spags.
Oh, man. Go get Cliff Kingsbury. That's who you need.
Yeah.
Offensive-minded fella.
He's interviewing for that game. Everywhere he goes, he fails.
I forgot to bring that up, Buck. Your guy, Cliff Kingsbury. A mutual parting of the ways in Washington.
Yeah.
No longer.
Did he part with the ways from that one Instagram model that he had?
Oh.
Wow, I hope.
What was her name anyway? I've already forgotten her name. Double R, you got it?
Who? What?
The Instagram model that Kingsbury was dating long time ago. I forgot her damn name. But he left him, or she left him for somebody fat.
Hey, come on. Why are you taking it out on we fat guys?
I'm a little well-rounded too, buddy.
Yeah. Oh, man. Is this who you're talking about?
That's not her.
Oh.
But I'm sure he's got the pick of the litter, right?
That looks like it's in Austin.
Well, Buck says, what does Cliff Kingsbury smell like, Buck?
Smells like a fresh tossed salad.
Yes. Buck wants to toss his salad.
No, he smells like a tossed salad. Go by the buffet and you go take a big sniff. Oh, that's that guy all the way.
Oh. See, that's how
you can smell him coming from 10 steps away and smell him leaving from 10 steps away too.
You know when he enters the room, I'll tell you that.
We Hispanics, when we go out, we put on a whole bottle of cologne. We don't put on two little sprays. It's like you can smell us coming.
Oh, man. This was a term that I'm sure has been canceled, so I hope I don't get canceled for saying it. It's just something that, locker room talk back when I was in middle school.
Oh, back in the day.
Hey, you would have, like, gym class or practice early in the morning, and you don't want to shower. You didn't have time to shower, right? You had to go to second period class. So we would do what was called a Mexican shower, where we would literally just spray a bunch of Axe body spray all over us. And that did the job.
Yeah.
So sorry to
called a Mexican chef.
I don't know. I did not invent the term.
I've heard it called an Italian shower before.
There you go. All right. So we're taking shots at every
it's because the Italians usually have a whole bunch of it's for the club scene, right? Up in the east and northeast. Like the Italians were big on the club scene, so they'd always have cologne going on, all types of different variations of cologne. Well, so.
I had a Mexican buddy. We'd like be getting ready to go out on the town or whatever, not as a couple, but go out on the town, and he'd spray one little spot here on each inside of the forearm, and then he'd spray himself in the nuts, and he'd say that one's for the women.
I never understood the wrists.
Why do dudes
put it on the wrist?
BK knows all about colognes. I'm not going to say anything about because I have a certain cologne.
It's my area of expertise here, Wags. You got pulse points on your wrist, so it exudes more pheromones from your body right here because that's where your veins kind of meet.
On this little spot. We got veins all over our hands and shit, but this little spot right here.
That's the spot.
Is that why my wrist works so good?
Yeah.
Especially your right one.
That's why, yeah. That one
too, buddy. What are you talking about?
Oh, he's a switch hitter.
Man.
Switch
hitter. Yeah.
Never been king of that castle.
And
BK says there's stuff you don't rub it in.
Yeah, you don't do this, Wags. You don't rub your cologne in because you're ruining the scent. Just got to spray it.
Did you know Wags, that you ruin the scent when you rub it in?
I used to think that I had everything down, but I'm learning new things
here
on Texas Sports Unfiltered.
There you go. Texas cologne unfiltered, apparently.
Here's another tip for the kids in the car line. Never mistake Bengay for hemorrhoid cream. Because when you put Bengay down there, it's going to sizzle.
You've never done that, right? I did it at
Thanksgiving one year by mistake. I ate too much and I went and it was pretty gruesome. And I was at my dad's place and he has all these medicines. I'm like, okay, that looks like something to put down there. Little did I know it was one of those ointments.
Oh man, no.
I've had that happen before, but accidentally, right? Like I pulled my groin muscle, so I put some Tiger Balm down there and
got to your nuttle area.
Yeah, dang, you know what I mean? Like you don't think that things are gonna move over to that side and all of a sudden catches the whole bunch of thing and cold air hits and all of a sudden that flame just starts going up, man.
Spray it where the veins are
exposed. Very nice.
Yeah, I've heard of Gold Bond powder down there, but I haven't heard of
some Tiger Balm down there. Yeah, not really on a pulled groin. Yeah, not. I wasn't exactly. I'm still not the most educated person.
It's a pulled groin, all right. That groin had gotten pulled, but
a few times. The groin's gotten pulled a few times, buddy.
Yeah. Guys, I have a theory on this Parker Livingston thing that I'll talk about a little bit later. Ooh. And I got it figured out.
All right. Man.
I can't figure it out.
Public enemy number one, Parker Livingston. It was
a good call. You guys said he was an OU guy. I did not think, like, I saw the pictures of him, with the Longhorn stuff. So I figured he grew up as a Longhorn guy.
Yeah. How about the 180 he took going from fan favorite to public enemy number one in a week?
Hours. I was going to say hours.
Hours is fair. But literally 7 days ago is when Texas played Michigan and Parker Livingston was on the field helping Texas beat Michigan. Also dropping a pass. Good luck with that, OU. But now he's an Oklahoma Sooner. It's on the dark side.
That's incredible.
Whatever Skywalker, Anakin, Luke's father, whoever the hell did that switch.
Well,
Darth.
Lots of prayers to the Shipley family.
Yeah.
Shipley, that's sad.
Yeah. Absolutely. Hey, right quick, guys, before you go, do y'all remember this name? Wags broke the internet yesterday with bringing up that name.
Yeah.
Of course he remembers that.
We were talking about it yesterday. And Christina getting involved with the show. That was pretty hilarious. That's a name you don't forget. I mean, it's the roster imposter, Buck. This was the horn. This was the Horns version of the roster imposter. Our own radio version of that in Austin a couple of years ago. And we got to do like a mini 30 for 30 on that.
Timeout. The guy was 350 pounds first and foremost and led with he was a veteran. Bro, come on.
Do veterans,
I mean,
Do veterans not get, you know, they don't blow up every once in a while?
I wouldn't go as far as, I mean, we put on some weight, but I wouldn't go as far as saying we put on three different people.
Three different.
Are you telling me Mike Elko and Mike McCarthy have not served?
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know their service, but I doubt that they have.
They've been served.
Three different people.
Oh, man.
Well, all right, guys. Y'all have a great one.
Gravy seal.
See y'all tomorrow.